This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, jazakallah khair, thank you so much for joining us this night number 2 of Ramadan 1441 and Ramadan 2020, where we're doing the tafsir of Surah Yasin. Alhamdulillah, today was the first day of fasting for us here in Cape Town. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us and from the entire Muslim Ummah, and may Allah grant us to only increase in blessings as this month continues. Alhamdulillah. Tonight, inshallah, we will discuss the tafsir, or begin the introduction to the tafsir of the holiest surah of the entire Quran, the most blessed surah of the entire Quran, and that is, of course, none other than Suratul Fatiha, the first chapter of the noble Quran. We begin with some of the names of this surah, and usually, as it is said, the more names and something is given, it shows you how blessed it is and how important it is. Of the names of Surah Fatiha, of course, it is called Suratul Fatiha. Fatiha meaning the opening, because it is through that, through this surah, that the entire Quran is opened. Also, Fatiha means a victory. It means a release from all hardships. And so this surah is a great victory. It is a surah that in times of calamity brings about relief. It is a surah which brings about an opening in times of hardship. The other name which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions for this chapter in the Quran, Allah calls it Sab'a Mathani, the seven that are repeated, the seven oft repeated verses. And so we would find that Surah Fatiha, we'll talk about this, it has seven ayat or seven verses. Allah calls it the seven that are continuously being repeated. And subhanAllah, if you think about it, there are over 1 billion Muslims on earth currently. And every single salah, Surah Fatiha has to be recited a number of times, at least 17 times a day for the 17 rak'ahs that are compulsory. And everywhere in the world right now, you have Maghrib, or you have Isha, or you have Fajr. Somewhere in the world, the sun is rising, the sun is setting, and someone is performing Salah, and someone is reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. This Surah, it's amazing that Allah said, these are the seven verses that will continuously be recited. Indeed, there is no other verse, no anthem, no song, no poem that is recited continuously billions and billions of times, 17 billion times a day, inshallah, this chapter is being recited continuously by the Muslims. So this is the seven oft-repeated verses. It is also called Ummul Kitab, the mother or the chief of the book, meaning the Quran. It is the leader of the Quran, the most important surah within the Quran. And we find the Sahaba, they had other names for it. They call it Surah Al-Hamd. Why? Because it begins with Al-Hamd, the surah of the praise, praising of Allah. It is Surah Al-Shifa'a, the surah of healing. That we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in the Quran there is healing. And there is no surah which has a greater form of healing than Surah Al-Fatiha. Many a time when there is issue of spiritual affliction, Surah Fatiha is recited over the patient, and this brings relief. One of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu, he came upon a woman whose child was possessed, and by reciting Surah Fatiha on this child, the jinn had left this child. So Surah Fatiha has a great healing in it. Some Sahaba called it Surah Al-Kafiyah, the surah that is complete. It's kafi, meaning complete. Whatever you ask and you need, it will provide. It is a form of acceptance of dua. And in it, what we ask for it, in fact, the entire surah is a perfect way in which dua is made. And when we talk about the tafsir, the surah explains to us how we should make a dua. And in it, we ask for one thing, and that is guidance. And it's the most important thing that we need. And it is, we ask Allah 17 times a day at least for guidance to Him. Ameen. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala references Surah Fatiha and Surah Baqarah. Allah says, and certainly we have given you, O Muhammad, the seven oft-repeated verses and the great Quran. It's amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as if though He's saying, I've given you two things, two blessings. One is Surah Al-Fatiha on the one side, and the other is the entire Quran as well. As if though the rest of the Quran is following this great surah. Amazing, amazing surah. And again, here in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to it as the seven repeated verses. In a hadith, listen to this hadith found in Tirmidhi, Abu Hurairah reports, the Prophet ﷺ said, should I not tell you of a surah, a chapter, unlike which you have, it doesn't have an equal, neither in the Torah, which was sent to Nabi Musa, nor the Injil, which was sent to Nabi Isa, السلام, nor the Zabur, which was sent to Nabi Dawood, السلام, nor even in the Quran, which is of course Nabi ﷺ, meaning there is no surah equal to it. And it is the surah which we recite in the salah. It is indeed Suratul Fatiha. It is the seven oft-repeated verses which Allah has given down. So this surah is the highest level of revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the greatest revelation from the beginning of time until the end of time. This chapter, Suratul Fatiha, is what Allah has revealed. In another beautiful hadith which shows you the power and the blessings of Suratul Fatiha, As reported by Ibn Abbas in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ was sitting once with Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel was in human form, and they were revising of the Quran, and suddenly both of them looked up into the sky. They heard a sound, and they both looked up into the sky. And Jibreel said, "This sound is the sound of a gate, or a box, a treasure that has been opened in the heavens today, and it has never been opened before," meaning for all of eternity, this door was closed, and today it has been opened. And out of this door, out of this gate, an angel is coming out, and he is bringing with a treasure, so rejoice in it. He brings with him two gifts, one of which is Surah Al-Fatiha, the other one is the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, the likes of which has never been revealed before. And Jibreel says, "You will never recite a word from them without being given the blessings they contain. Whoever recites them, they will receive a great blessing." And so SubhanAllah shows us once again the power of Surah Fatiha. Surah Fatiha, in fact, was revealed a number of times. It wasn't only revealed at this point when this angel came down. Rather, Prophet ﷺ received revelations from Surah Fatiha very early in his mission, right at the beginning. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the Prophet ﷺ how to perform salah, and in that was Surah Al-Fatiha. And it is said, Allahu A'lam, and this is the correct opinion, that Surah Al-Fatiha, while it was not the very first revelation, of course the very first revelation was Surah Al-Alaq, Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, we know that. And then after Surah Al-Alaq was Ya Ayyuhal Muzammil, Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir. These were the earliest revelations. However, even in these surahs, Allah says, "Kumil layla illa qalila." Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ right at the beginning that he should stand up in salah. And so it is assumed that Surah Al-Fatiha was already revealed to him. And in fact, it is the first surah that is revealed from start to finish, complete. So Surah Al-Alaq, for example, Iqra was revealed, the first one, but it wasn't completely revealed. Maybe only 10 years later was the rest of the surah given to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whereas Surah Al-Fatiha was revealed completely, start to finish, and the first surah to be revealed like that. We know of the virtues of Surah Al-Fatiha, that it is a pillar of salah. Hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, whoever does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha in the rak'ah, then he has no salah. So if you forget to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, then there is no salah, for that rak'ah is incomplete. Now as we stand in Taraweeh, many of us are trying and struggling to recite as much as we can in our rak'ah. We might recite a few ayat, some might recite even a juz, whatever it might be. You understand that even reciting the whole Quran is not equal to the blessings of Surah Al-Fatiha when we stand in our rak'ah, because we can do without the rest in the rak'ah, but you cannot do without Surah Al-Fatiha. As I mentioned before, Surah Al-Fatiha is a protection from evil. Many a time, in cases of spiritual harms and spiritual illness, psychological illness, pondering over Surah Al-Fatiha, reciting Surah Al-Fatiha over the patient will bring about cure and protection. And it is a dua, as we had said. So before we begin with the actual tafsir, before we begin with Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises us and instructs us in the Quran that before we recite the Quran, we need to do the isti'adha. What is isti'adha? We need to ask Him for protection. Protection from what? So Allah says in Surah Al-Nahl, Surah number 16, verse number 8, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنِ, that when you recite the Quran, so when you begin your recitation of the Quran, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ, then ask Allah for His protection, مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, from the accursed and the rejected shaitan, the outcast shaitan. So Allah instructs us that before we ever begin reciting, whether it is in salah, whether it is we are out of salah, before we recite, before we begin reciting the Quran, we always begin with أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. We ask Allah to protect us from shaitan. Why? A number of reasons. Shaitan wants to cause us harm when we are reciting the Quran. He wants to cause deviation. He wants to cause us to misunderstand. He wants us to be distracted. So many a times, how you know, we all know this, our minds are clear and blank. We're not thinking of anything. But the minute we begin Allahu Akbar, our salah, and then all the, you know, things in our, what's happening in our life comes, we think about the business, we think about work, about the kids, or, you know, where I forgot my keys, I didn't even realize, and the minute I start making salah, I remember, oh, it's over there. So this is shaitan making his wiswas, trying to confuse us. And that is why when we begin, before we begin something blessed, we remove that which is rejected. Before you plant, like the farmer, before he plants the seed, he first needs to remove the weeds. And so the isti'adha, seeking protection from Allah is from shaitan, is the beginning. Also, some more points on the isti'adha. There's many ways of saying it. The simplest way is to say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. So we say, أعوذ يا الله, أعوذ بالله. I seek protection with you, Allah, from the شيطان الرجيم. And this word, أعوذ, is an act of worship. It's an act of worship. Meaning, you cannot say, أعوذ بي anything else. I seek protection. I seek refuge with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is not permissible. I seek protection with the أولياء. This is not permissible. This will be a form of shirk. Only Allah is entitled to be a source of spiritual protection. There is one exception to this, subhanAllah, and this is the famous dua where the Prophet says, أعوذ بكلمات الله تامة من شر ما خلق. Oh, and this is a dua he recited daily. He says, I seek protection with the perfect words of Allah, meaning with the Quran, from all the harms and all the evils which Allah Himself has created. Allah, all that which is evil, all that which is harmful, this coronavirus, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we say, Ya Allah, we seek protection with you and with your perfect words, meaning the Quran. Because in the Quran, in itself, as we said, Surah Fatiha in particular, there is a shield that when we recite it, it is a shield that protects us. Many people complain about, you know, spiritual harms, hasad and nazar, jinn and magic and all these kind of things. The only way to protect yourself from these viruses is through a spiritual immune system. One of them is, of course, to seek protection, أعوذ بالله, and it is to recite from the Quran, particularly Surah Fatiha, Surah Baqarah. These surahs have major powers of protection in them. There are other times that from the Sunnah we also find, so we recite the isti'adha, we say أعوذ بالله, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. When do we say it? Before we recite from the Quran. And if you had a period where you were reciting the Quran, so you were reciting the Quran, you began by أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, and then you got up and you did something, or in Salah, for example, you go down in Ruku and you come back up, again, when you a new session, you were like timed out. Many times we get logged out, you know, on the internet, so your session got logged out. When you want to restart a new session of recitation, you begin again, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And in your salah, you would say this softly. Of course, you would not say this aloud because it's not part of the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ also teaches us that there are other times in which we can recite the isti'adha and seek protection with Allah. In particular, there are certain times when we are susceptible to shaitan, when he makes an effort to harm us. We said when we recite Quran or do any act of ibadah, then he goes on overdrive to distract us. Anytime we have wiswas, we have some doubts in our heart, we have some fear, we have some kind of anxiety, it is part of shaitan's methodology of causing mental anguish, and so make isti'adha from the shaitan. Nightmares, as we know from the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, nightmares come from the shaitan. And so if you are disturbed in the evening, you wake up in the middle of the night, then just say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, and blow over your left shoulder 3 times, and inshallah, you will be fine. Nightmares cannot harm you. There are also, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, at-taswif, procrastinating, I will make salah, I will get up, I will do it. At-taswif, being lethargic, procrastinating, and many of us, subhanAllah, we struggle with this, then it is from the shaitan. Shaitan wants to keep us away from being productive. And so when you find yourself feeling lethargic, say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Seek Allah's protection, that shaitan does not disturb you, and this, inshallah, once he's gone, then that monkey is off your back, and now you can go forward and you can do that which is good. Also, we know that shaitan causes us to forget of the ways in which he can harm us. He causes us forgetfulness. And so, we say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. If we forget something, maybe you're in the exam and you forgot something, say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. You don't know where you put the keys, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist you in remembering. When we become angry, one of the things we know, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave a hadith, a man became so angry, he became red. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if he only knew a phrase, if he were to say this, then his anger would disappear. So now, you know, in Ramadan, it shouldn't be the case, but we are hungry, and this brings out some anger, we are a bit short and frustrated. Of the things we should do is we should say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Yes, some might say, but aren't all the shayateen locked up? Some, you know, scholars have mentioned that it is the big shaitans that are locked up. Also, they are not only shaitans of people. We know from the Quran that they are shayateen min al-jinn wal-ins. Allah says that they are devils from people as well. Allah protect us. There are some people, they are so bad, and so they bring out the worst in us, that they are like a shaitan. And so if someone is in your face, someone is upsetting you, someone says something to disturb you, say, أعوذ بالله, Ya Allah, protect the shaitan, protect me from all kinds of shaitan. And of course, you say, Allahumma inni sa'im, that inni sa'im, you remind yourself and you remind this person, I am fasting. Do not lose your cool, do not lose your temper. And so, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم is this powerful phrase that has so many benefits. And so, we begin with with the isti'adha. And then afterwards, we know, before we begin the surah, we always begin with the basmala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So it's as if though we say, after we get rid of the evil, after we've cleaned the field of any of its weeds, now before we actually begin planting, we prepare the soil, we prepare the heart for it to receive that which is good. And there is nothing better than to begin with Bismillah. We begin with the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed that whenever we begin something good, something meritorious, even something which is not evil, when we eat, when we sleep, we begin by saying the basmala, and this will bring barakah, it will bring goodness in it. And it's amazing that, again, in this phrase, when Allah introduces Himself in the Quran, Allah says, in the name of Allah, who is this Allah? He is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman, meaning the one who has, His mercy is infinite, He has no limit to His mercy. And it's His mercy that encompasses everything. Allah introduces Himself as the one with an infinite capacity of mercy, that everyone, even the shayateen, even the worst of the worst, even the biggest sinner, will receive of His mercy. That's Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahim is even a more specific kind of mercy. Ar-Rahman is the one that has vastness in mercy. Ar-Rahim is the one who is very special and specific, meaning He gives His mercy to a special group of people. And these are the selected people which Allah loves. They receive the Rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's so much tafsir we can say about the names of Allah. But one beautiful hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us Himself that He named Himself Ar-Rahim. Why? After the Rahim. Rahim means the uterus, the womb. Why? Because the womb is perhaps the most loving place to a baby. It surrounds the baby, it wraps the baby up in care and love and protection. And so Allah says, I have derived my name Rahim from the Rahim, from the uterus, because I... Basically, Allah says, as if though He engulfs His creation and the believers in particular with love and care. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. Allah cannot be made an analogy to anyone else, but like the mother wraps her children in all that love, Allah's mercy is even more than that. And so Allah wants you to begin with this. Now, a bit of a technical question here. The basmala in Surah Fatiha, you must have seen that if you go to the masjid in Cape Town, the imam says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, until the end of the surah. You go to Mecca, you put on ITV, and you see Sheikh Sudais, and he says, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Why did he not say the Bismillah loud? Firstly, everyone says the basmala. Each and every person, whether they say it loud or soft, is a different area. So why is the basmala sometimes recited loud by some people and recited soft by others? Let us ask a question. At the beginning of every chapter of the Quran, except for Surah Tawbah, at the beginning of every chapter, you find Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Is this a verse? Is this verse number one of every surah? Is this the verse of a verse, or is it a title? Is it an introduction? What is this thing, what is the basmala? So we know the isti'adha, a'udhu billah, is not part of the Quran, and that's why you will not find it written in the mushaf. But the basmala is written there, but is this a verse? So let us go a bit into detail. With regards to the basmala, bismillah being a verse, the scholars are unanimously agreed, everyone, the sahaba, we are all agreed, that the basmala is a verse in Surah An-Naml. In Surah An-Naml, surah number 16, there is a verse, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Nabi Sulaiman, he sends a letter to the Queen of Sheba, and she opens the letter and she reads it, and she says, indeed it is a letter from Sulaiman, and indeed this letter, it reads Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So Nabi Sulaiman wrote a letter, at the top of the letter was Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and so the Queen of Sheba, she reads it. This is being narrated to us in the Quran, so it is a verse inside the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Everyone agrees to that. They also agree, the scholars also agree, that the basmala that we find on the top of the surah, on the top of the chapter, is not a verse. And every surah would begin with this introductory title, is not a verse. And the only chapter that does not have the basmala at the beginning is the ninth chapter, Surah Tawbah. So every single chapter in the Quran has the basmala besides Surah Tawbah. And Surah Naml, of course, will have the basmala at the beginning, and inside of it, it will also have a basmala, meaning it has two bismillahs. But these are not verses on top, rather they are sort of a dua. The only debate, the only thing where the scholars disagree with, is the basmala of Surah Fatiha. Here, there are a number of differences. Is the basmala a verse of Surah Fatiha? Is it not a verse of Surah Fatiha? And this is a very, if you really want to see this for yourself, if you have in your house the Mushaf, which we call the 15-line Mushaf, the green Mushaf usually from that is printed in Saudi, the one you find in the Haram. If you open that Quran, the Mushaf, and you look at Surah Fatiha, you will see that the Basmala at the beginning of Surah Fatiha, you have Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. At the end of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, you will see a number one written there, meaning this is verse number one according to that Mushaf. Then when you open the Indo-Pak Quran Mushaf, rather the 13-line one as it is called sometimes, you open that up, you look at Surah Fatiha, after Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, there's just a circle, there's no number one in there. Number one is after Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So in according to this Mushaf, the Basmala is not a verse. So in summary, and we won't go into too much technical detail, the Hanafi and Maliki Madhabs and the scholars of Basra really in this area, they have said that the Basmala in Surah Fatiha is like the Basmala in every other surah. It is an introductory line, it is not a verse at all. It is just something that we recite to bring barakah, to begin the surah as a way of an introduction. And so it is not different to the Basmala of Qul Wallahu Ahad, the Basmala of Inna Atainaka Al-Kawthar. You say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, it is just an introductory phrase. And therefore you'll find that the Hanafis, for example, they do not recite this verse aloud in this salah. They will begin Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So this is the one opinion. The other side, the opposite of the Hanafis in this regard, are the Shafi'is, which we find here, many of them in Cape Town in particular. They say, Imam Shafi'i said, that the Basmala for Surah Fatiha is a verse of Surah Fatiha. And one of the reasons, we'll get to this more in detail tomorrow inshaAllah, because Surah Fatiha has seven verses, and he says one of those seven is the Basmala, and therefore you should recite the Basmala aloud. And therefore you would find in Cape Town that the Imam recites Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim aloud. No difference, no problem, everyone recites it whether soft or loud, it's fine. The Hanbalis, and this is usually the Imams of the Harams, the Hanbali Madhab is kind of in the middle of the two, they affirm that the Basmala is a verse of Surah Fatiha. And that's why you find in the print in Saudi Arabia, which follows the Hanbali Madhab, they have number one. So they follow the Shafi'is, that it is a verse of the Quran, but they follow the Hanafis in that it should not be recited aloud. Even though it is a verse, it should be recited softly. So this is kind of an in-between view. And they base this on a hadith which you find in Bukhari. Imam, or rather Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, the great Sahabi, he said that I prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr and Umar, and they did not begin the prayer, they began the prayer rather with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Meaning, they didn't start with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, they began with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So it's a very powerful hadith to that effect. And so Allah alam, and there is no harm whether you recite it aloud or softly, so long as you recite the Basmala. And in the salah you have to recite the Basmala, especially as we said, the salah is not complete without Suratul Fatiha. And if the Basmala, and we said this is a contentious issue, is a verse of the Quran, then it is safer always to recite it, and inshaAllah, so you have to recite it. And as I said, if you look at the two masahif, you will see the difference. To conclude, besides reciting the Basmala is only recited at the beginning of the surah. So, unlike the Isti'adha, if you were reciting the Quran and then you left and you come back and your session sort of timed out, when you begin again, you again say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, but you don't begin with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Basmala is only at the beginning of the surah. There are other times in which we recite the Basmala, not just when we recite the Quran. We recite it whenever we do a good activity. So anytime you do an act of worship, you give charity. So maybe you're doing an EFT, you're handing over some money, you know, you want to pick up the phone and call your mother, you begin with saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You begin the wudu, for example, with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Also any activity which in itself is not rewarded. So eating, you don't get a reward for eating. Sleeping, you don't get a reward for sleeping. But the minute you begin with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, you convert this normal activity into an act of worship. You're about to travel, and inshallah, subhanallah, we even miss the traffic now when the lockdown ends and we sit in our traffic all the way to town an hour. When you get into the car on the taxi, you say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Now you being on the car or on the road, this is an act of worship. You're actually getting rewarded for that. So it brings about barakah. And that it also, one of the reasons why, it is to show that our first most important beginning point is, I begin this activity in the name of Allah. I begin it for the sake of Allah. It shows that Allah is my priority. And it shows that we do this for the sake of Allah. Another way of thinking about this, if you cannot say the basmala, so before you do it, you think it'll be wrong for me to say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and now I'm going to wa'yadu billah commit a sin. You will never say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, I'm now going to hit my brother. In the name of Allah, I'm going to curse and cause fitna. Of course, no one does that. And this also shows you that this activity, then if it cannot be done with the basmala at the beginning, then it is an activity which is haram. It is haram. And so we incur, by doing the basmala, we put barakah in, we make every action that we do an act of ibadah, and we put barakah in everything. So sometimes we do something, you know, we make the pot of food, it might not taste that good, but the minute you say the basmala, it brings barakah in the food. And that is why the older scholars have said that it's always best to eat the food of the home-cooked meals like we do now. Alhamdulillah, our mothers, whenever she puts the salt in, whenever our wives, may Allah bless them, whenever they put the sugar in, whatever they do, Bismillah, Bismillah. And so as the ingredients are going in, the basmala and the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going in that as well, and the goodness of it comes out. So say the Bismillah as much as you can, always beginning with the sake of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to begin in His name and end our days and end our life on His name and in His worship, bi'idhnillah, and may He put barakah in all our affairs. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much. Just a reminder, inshallah, to go online and you'd find our quiz, the next 5 set of questions. Inshallah, you'll find it on our website, or you can click on the link and you can go there. And at the end of the week and at the end of the month, there will be prizes for the leaders, inshallah, on this quiz. May Allah accept from us. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.